as you pour down your Holy Spirit upon us, and that we receive our daily bread, that it fills us and molds us and shapes us to go and be bold disciples for the days to come. And all of God's people said, amen. I know what you're thinking. You're like, man, Frank, this is a great passage this morning, right? A bunch of whiny, complaining Israelite people. I mean, it's kind of a weird text, right? It's nothing but complaining and then how God hears the complaints. But think about it, though. Who do we complain the most, right? I don't think we've traveled very far from the Israelite community in over 2,000 years, okay? I really don't think we've traveled that far, right? But we complain to our parents, right, as kids. You know, what's for dinner? What? Oh, I don't want to eat that. I don't want to eat my vegetables, right? We don't want to do any of that, right? We complain to our parents, right? These are the people who are complaining to their Father God, right? We're pretty much the same in 2023 as we were over 2,000 years ago, right? We haven't really changed. You know, we have kids, right? And our kid, they have kids, and what do? They complain to their grandparents. Oh, gosh, raising kids is so hard. Like, we didn't know that, right? Like, we just did that. You know, we complain, right? And this week's story is a familiar one. Even if you didn't grow up in the church, you've probably heard the story of God providing manna and quail to the Israelite people, for the Hebrews, right, in the form of manna and quail, and their inability to be happy with anything, you know, in the scripture passages. I mean, they were enslaved for over 400 years, and they're brought out of that slavery into freedom, and all they do is complain. And you know what? I don't know what they really have to complain about. They got a lot of gall, if you ask me. I mean, this was the first Uber Eats. I mean, this was the first DoorDash, you know, manna and quail delivered to their tent flaps every single morning. But think about us. Whenever we order a pizza and we're watching the Domino's tracker and it says, be there in 30 minutes and it's 45 minutes, aren't we complaining, right? Or we get in line at a fast food line and it takes 20 minutes to get our meal. What's taking them so long? It's fast food. This isn't very fast, right? By human nature, by design, I think we are designed to complain, right? That's just who we are as a people, right? And it started way before us, right? It started with the Israelite people. But let's just get some context around this passage, right? So just a few weeks before in Scripture, right, the Israelite people lived one of the most astounding experiences ever. They fled Egypt. They were celebrating on the water's edge. They were slapping tambourines and singing and in full of disbelief and joy that they had actually got their freedom. They were finally experiencing something that many of them only ever dreamed of their entire life, freedom and the possibility to become their own nation. And then they look out across the desert. And then the reality of their situation actually hits them. And it hits them hard. And they tell Moses and Aaron, you brought us out here to die? Right? They were so focused previously in the scripture passages about just getting away from their oppressors, right? That they hadn't given much thought to what comes next. Right? Well, certainly I don't think they were any more prepared to live in the desert, which they didn't know would be 40 years, then you or I would be prepared to live in the desert today. Just think about the enormous and overwhelming issues that they would face. They're a free people. Everything they own, all their possessions, their animals, their kids, everything is packed up. Now they're camping in the desert with no one to provide. And then by the time we get to our story this morning, right, they already had problems with water, right? Frankly, their food is about to run out. The future doesn't look very bright. So we can kind of see where they start complaining and what happens, right? But I also think that what happens in this text shouldn't be surprising. The Israelite people just saw it on the shore of the Red Sea, right? Looking out over the waters as God parted the waters and they walked across dry land. And then the waves came crushing down on their oppressors, right? What a miraculous sign, right? But then here we are a few weeks later, and the people are complaining. I think there's a pattern here that starts to develop, right? They gathered around Moses and his brother Aaron, and they said things like, hey, you know what? We appreciate being free and all, but you brought us out here to die. So thank you for that, right? And they kind of had a point. The future looked bright, but also grim. You know, nourishing food was critical if they were to survive in the desert, so they needed to figure out some way that they would survive. So they cry out to God, and God brings them provision. How often do we do the same thing in our lives when our lives look bleak? We have a tragedy, a situation, a loss of a job, and we cry out, "Why, God, oh, why?" But if we're patient and we trust in God, God's provision comes. We receive our daily bread, right? So the people complain against God, and they complain against Aaron and Moses, right? Because they could only see the problems facing them in the forefront when they look out into the desert. They couldn't imagine or even put their focus on what the solutions might even be. And in this text, we hear specifically that God heard the complaining and God responded. Miraculously, food would appear. In the evening, there would be meat, and in the morning, there would be bread. Every single day. That way God told them, "You will be sure to know that I am your God." Now, nobody actually knew what manna was at the time, right? Never heard of it, never saw it. It's described in other texts as tasting like flour with honey or bread with oil, right? But its name literally comes from the Hebrew text meaning, "What is this?" Right? So apparently, whatever it was exactly what the Israelite people needed. And God knew that, right? God knew that, and he gave them their daily supply every single morning and every single evening. God provided for them for 40 years, right? Until the people would reach the land that they were promised. I think there's a very simple theological solution here, right? We cry out to God. God hears our concerns and our hearts. God provides with our daily bread. We go about our lives. Again, we cry out to God. God provides our daily bread. I mean, that's pretty much the lesson in the scripture passages. And so, I mean, I think I'm done. Right? Let's just go home. We're done today, right? The Cowboys are playing here in a little bit anyways, right? But it's not that simple, brothers and sisters. It's not that simple. Like the Israelites, there are a lot of things that we need. But despite God's generous provision, we want more, don't we? How many of us here have everything that we need? I'm pretty sure everybody better raise their hand, right? I mean, you got food in your pantry, you got clothes on your back, probably have a house to live in, right? Maybe a few dollars in the bank account to buy lunch or get an Uber Eats, right? I mean, God has provided many blessings for us in our lives, and we take this for granted each and every day. Right? I mean, think about the Israelite people gazing out over the wilderness in front of them. Our wilderness doesn't look like that. Right? They only saw what they didn't have and not what God has already done. You know, he miraculously protected them from the plagues and the illnesses. He protected their firstborn children. He saved them from Pharaoh's army. I mean, for Pete's sake, they lived through an experience of provision that today we are making movies about. You know, the Exodus. But when their stomachs started grumbling and they got hungry and thinking about what they didn't have, nothing close would even come close to the bounty that they had in Egypt. So immediately they were ready to go back to slavery to fill their tummies. How often does God provide us with provision and we just push it past the wayside and thinking that that was our doing? You know, or circumstance, or a situation that changes, and we don't give God the credit where credit is due, right? We forget that we were prisoner to our own fears, right? And our own wants and our own desires, right? Just like the Israelite people, forgetting what God had already done for them. And if we're honest, and I think if we're honest with each other and ourselves, I think when we read this story of the Israelites who can't see their past, their empty stomachs, we should immediately recognize ourselves, right? We live in a world today, we don't understand what we really need and what we really want. And there's a difference, I think, between what we need and what we really want. And I think it's because we have a distorted view. It's like we're looking into a warped mirror, and an image of what we want and what we need often become the same thing. We're so focused on that illusion of we need. Think about it. Society tells us this every day. I don't even know what iPhone we're on, but I'm pretty sure everybody here has a phone, and it works, right? But how many people are ready to wait for that iPhone 175 or whatever number we're on now to come out, right? We need the next best thing, right? Car makers do it all the time. They change a body design, right, every 4 or 5 years so you can get the next new design, right? Clothes, shoes, purses, everything comes in and out of style so that we can have a desire to want and need more when God has already provided what we need and what we have. It's human nature for us to desire to want more and lose focus on what we really need. I think if we could see the eyes through somebody different, then maybe our vision might be different if we look through the eyes of God. And some of you know, a couple weeks ago, I had an opportunity to visit with a lady, Nadine Flathouse, on a Sunday after church. Right? I got to go as the mayor of Boerne and celebrate her birthday at the nursing home. She was 103 years old. Right? Oldest living resident in the city of Boerne. I got to spend the afternoon celebrating her birthday with her. So as we're sitting and we're talking, you know, I said, Nadine, I said, what was your life like? What was life about? What did you do? And, you know, tell me, you know, let's talk about it. And she said, well, she gave me her story. At age 12, right, she was living in Indiana, Illinois. And she's a middle child of 9 kids. And her mom sent her across the country at age 12 to California to take care of her dying aunt. And then when her aunt passed away, she got on a 1920, a train, maybe a boat, I don't know, a bus, right? Came to Pecos, Texas, and she met her husband, right? Got ill, was unable to bear children, you know, but she lived her life serving her community. And we talked about that, about how she gave of herself. And I said, so what would you say was the thing about your life? And she says, look for the good, Frank. I always look for the good because wherever there is good, there is God. She said that to go to California to take care of my aunt was a blessing. To get moved to Pecos, Texas to meet my husband was a blessing. She goes, I had no kids. She said, but I raised thousands of kids through the church because I was willing to look for the good. And when there wasn't any good, I said, I will be the good. I will be the good. And I thought, wow, what an outlook on life. She said, I never wanted and I never needed. She said, God always, always provided for me. And then so after we got done talking, I made the announcement I was going to proclaim September 13th, Nadine Flathouse Day in the city of Boerne. Now and forever, September 13th is Nadine Flathouse Day. The city of Boerne, and she had tears coming down her eyes. You know, I did too. She said, this is the greatest day ever. She said, be the good, Frank. Be the good. She goes, because wherever there is good, there is God. And I wonder, when we look through this picture of Nadine's life, what it looks like peering out into the world through these eyes, to be the good, instead of complaining about what we don't have and what we need or what we want, and don't get confused. If we spend our lives striving to be the good in the community, focusing on what God has already provided us, then we can become God's children and live into God's design for our lives. We can spend a lot of time thinking about what we don't have. Not enough money, not enough friends, right? Not enough retirement. We can look out into the desert of our future with fear and anxiety and wonder and worry. We can look out into that wilderness and see the pillar of cloud that is God that leads us, guides us, and strengthens us as we move forward. I don't think we've traveled very far from our Israelite brothers and sisters. But if we're willing to look through the eyes of like someone like Nadine Flathouse and be the good, be the very presence of God in the world, then there'll be an overwhelming response of God providing our daily bread, of God providing exactly what we need to survive. I don't know if we'll ever learn this lesson. We'll probably complain tomorrow and maybe even this afternoon. But if we go forward with an attitude of gratitude in our hearts, thankful for the bountiful blessings that God has already provided, then we're one step closer to living into that nation of God's chosen children. Because God has already provided us our daily bread. More than enough. More than enough each and every day. So go and be the good. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we gather this morning in your congregation, as your body of Christ. We gather to sing songs of praise and to hear your word. We gather with hearts of gratitude for all that we have and all that we are, but also with a hope in our hearts that we can be more, that we should be more, and that you will provide us whatever we need as we venture out into the wilderness of life to love and to serve you. So make us bold disciples to track that valley into the wilderness, to be the good, to love and to serve, so that others might see the very face of Jesus in all that we are, in all that we say, in all that we do, in all that God's people said. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I invite you to stand up as you are able. Let us lift our voices one more time. Let our voices rise to the heavens with a grateful heart as we sing to our Creator. Go out into the world to let it rise. Let our voices cry out among us. Right? Go into the world knowing that you are a child of God. And in that baptism this morning, I asked Quinn a profession of faith. And it's like 3 or 4 sentences. And I said, do you claim Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And there's like 3 more sentences after that. She immediately yelled out, yes, before I could even finish the statement. May we go into this week with the faith and love of Jesus that Quinn has at age 6 to be the good, so the world will know Jesus in all that we are and all that we do. Amen. Amen. Let the songs of